Blog Talk Radio.
Woo! Are you guys ready to worship our destiny?
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Doom and Christian Living Today. I'm Elliot Thompson, and joining me as always is our co-host, Dawn. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good every time.
Every
Michael
time.
Said that, I want to say it. Yes, we are ready. Let's go.
It's been a fun-filled day of worship, actually, hasn't it?
And a busy day.
Yeah. Started off our morning at the dunes with the campground folks over there, and the weather wasn't quite as cooperative as it usually has been, and we got hit with that real heavy, wet, warm air. That sometimes comes up this way. But we made it through. The Lord gave us a good conversation and spent some time in the Word with some good people and friends. And then we had an opportunity to share worship over at Bethel in Gary, which was quite a blessing to be asked to preach for them and lead worship for them this season. So that's I'm looking forward to the next time when we're with them again in July. So it should be an interesting time then as well. But what a blessed congregation that is over there. Just a great group of people with a great heart. So it was a joy to be with them today.
Yeah.
Any thoughts or comments along the line on what today was all about for you?
I think that I'm ready to just jump right into the lesson, but I think that I enjoyed so much what we talked about last week that it was a little hard for me to shift gears and jump into this one, but
My message wasn't on.
No, but we certainly had some good conversations, even at the dunes.
But I know what you mean, though. It was kind of a different conversation, but that's what scripture verse that we're working with in the Gospel of Mark. And we'll go into that conversation again today, and maybe some additional thoughts and issues may come out from it. But we want to thank you for continuing to listen to us. We want you to help us with this ministry by pushing out that link as it comes out to you and is available through the archive. Let your friends know that this is out there for them, for their time in the Word and an opportunity to share in some discussion. But also, we'd love to hear from you about opportunities in new scripture and things that you want to see in part of our conversation. So email us at faithshare@dclnetwork.org. That's faithshare@dclnetwork.org. And as always, you can find us on Facebook and or follow us at Twitter as well. So, why don't we go right into it, Dawn? You've selected Wonderful Savior for today.
Yes, it's a great song of praising God, and that's exactly what our lessons are about today.
All right, let's listen to that.
Yeah.
beautiful song. It's always wonderful to hear you sing live like that, Don. As we get into the Gospel of Mark, this is a reminder for our listening audience that we talked about some of this last week, but let's just set the backdrop again. Mark is considered the earliest of the Gospels. It, at one point in time, was considered to be an offshoot from Matthew, but now recently scholars believe that Mark is definitely the earliest of other Gospel passages that were written. And it's assumed to be written in time frame of somewhere just between somewhere, say, 65 to 70 A.D., something short of the fall of Jerusalem, and around Peter's death or just after Peter's death. Mark himself, the Gospel of Mark, is an unnamed author, but it is attributed to Mark the Evangelist, or John Mark, who has been recorded as being in different locations of Jesus' ministry throughout. It said that he was a servant at the wedding in Cana, as part of that service. And he was most likely a follower of Paul, but also a companion of Peter. And the Gospel of Mark is pretty much assumed then to be a recounting of Peter's witness to Jesus' ministry as he went about the world doing miracles and all of his teachings. It is written in Greek, and it is most likely written for the Gentiles at this point in time, as he gives a lot of his story to the Jewish traditions. So it's expected, and I think Mark is really setting the tone for a couple of things in his overall gospel. One is definitively stating that Jesus is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He was made human, but in form and function, he is God incarnate. Two is that he is of not just of God, but also, I just lost my train of thought, and I apologize for
maybe it was
that,
a good
that the message of the gospel. Excuse me, but that the message of the gospel spreads beyond just the Jewish church and the Jewish faith, and it is meant for all to hear. It is a global message, a global gospel. So, with that, Dawn,
I'm finally going to get to read the lesson.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 24 through 27. And he was saying to them, "Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him." And he was saying, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seeds upon the soil. And he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know."
So there's a lot contained in this passage, and it goes on to talk about also the parable of the mustard seed. But let's talk a little bit first about the use of parables. And it is most likely an issue of Jesus giving the message out in ways that people may be able to grasp hold of it so that they search their hearts to understand the meaning, as opposed to telling them direct an answer to it. It's not as though it's intended to be secretive, but it is, I believe, intended for people to want to be inquisitive. Those that whose hearts are open to receive will be able to explore and to understand more by going deeper and accompanying Jesus and following him and learning more as he goes. Jesus has himself talks about saying these things in public, but in private, giving the specific meanings of his stories and his parables to the apostles, knowing that the apostles have accepted him as the Messiah.
Right? That definitely starts an opportunity for conversation so folks can work through these ideas that some of them, if it were just bluntly what it is, would be too much for them to absorb.
Yeah, certainly too much for them to absorb and too much risk at stake in terms of having them to make a hard decision on something they're not even ready to receive yet, right? And I think that's the issue underlying that. If you approach anybody looking for a hard line in the sand, you give them no option but to either accept or reject without any consideration, right, when you throw that hard line out there for them. And I think Jesus is well aware of that. And knowing that these people don't anticipate, don't expect to see the Messiah come to them in person, and at this point in time, they won't know what he's dealing with and how to handle the message directly. So he applies this other means through parables as a way of describing it. And since the apostles have already accepted him as the chosen one, as the Messiah. That's why he can go deeper and more direct and more specific with them afterwards in private fashion. So, again, it's not. I don't believe it's not meant to be, quote-unquote, secretive and avoid, so that there's some underlying code that has to be put out there and understood, but more so a way of encouraging, if you will, a heart that's open and receptive, and then responding to an inquisitive heart, an inquisitive mind, someone that wants to go and understand deeper and more potentially be with Jesus throughout his ministry, right? So I think that's really the part of this that I just want to get out early on, Jesus' use of parables. And here we have a parable that doesn't exist within Matthew or Luke. The other parables, most of all the other parables, do have a parallel verse. So you can state it a little bit different maybe in some of them. But this parable of the lamp and that precedes this, but this talk also of this measure of it being given to you in ways that it can grow within you, I think is a great setting for this early parable of the seed and how it grows within and continues to grow without any attention from the farmer. So, Dawn, as we start to unfold this and going back to our discussions from this morning, anything in particular you want to explore?
Well, I just, you'll remember that right off, I tend to take things way too literally. And so I was reading the beginning of this, and it seemed to me that it felt more like it was a warning than a positive thing.
Well, Dawn's referring to that opening statement where take care of what you listen to. There's a broad way of understanding that, depending on the intonation you use in reading the words, it certainly can be a warning, but it also could be a nurturing. And we talked about that this morning. As a warning, it's an issue of be prepared, I think. Watch out, because as you listen, you're going to hear things that you weren't ready to hear. You're going to be called to do things that you're not ready to be called upon. So as you get into the Word and you get up to understand Jesus' message of his life and legacy as our Savior, be prepared, because what you hear is going to work within you. It's going to drive you to change. It's going to teach you new things that you didn't understand before, and things you probably didn't even want to see, particularly against your existing faith and belief of God.
And as you accept it, you're going to be taking this ride with me, and you're going to go places maybe you need to get yourself prepared for.
Yeah, and that goes right into the next statement. You know, as you accept just a little bit, more is going to work upon you. So it will be given to you by the measure to which you have received. Where also you can also talk about that in terms of going back to this contrast between a warning and one of love, the nurturing. You can take this take care statement to carefully hold on to it and let it grow and to foster it and be inquisitive and be engaged and want to receive more and grow deeper faster, right? So you have both work in light of the existing message, and both work in terms of the overall message here is that seed planted within you will grow. God's work will come alive once you accept it. And I just want to, before I forget, Dawn, talk briefly about this word receive. You have to accept. We talked about this morning. To receive something doesn't mean somebody hands it to you, you drop it on the ground. You have not received it. To receive it, you have to accept it. And that acceptance of Christ in your heart, that acceptance of God alive, and that Holy Spirit's power is what becomes the seed that grows within you.
And I really think you're so right on target with this, especially when you read the part about, and then he says, whoever does not have, like if you're not getting this message and if you're not on board, then what you have will be taken away from you. Either you're in or you're out.
Yeah, and he does get to a cold statement there, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But this, I think, goes back into what we talked about is the acceptance and knowledge and awareness of the Holy Spirit in last week's message where Jesus talks about the one eternal sin that exists, and that's blasphemies against the Spirit, right? So if your heart is so hardened that you can't accept, what's been freely given to you, that you can't accept the word of Christ and the love of Christ and the grace of God coming through his Son, for us, who died on the cross, who saved us from our sins. If you're not prepared and able to accept one shred of the Holy Spirit's presence within you, then yes, you know, you have not accepted the Spirit, you don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit, and yes, much will be taken away. Everything you have, in fact, it goes on to say, will be taken away. So, yeah, I think there's still that strong statement that's out. But in context of last week's message where we talk about understanding the Holy Spirit, I think that ties in real well with this piece of accepting and receiving.
It does.
So as we go further then, we look at this issue of the seed. The one thing that comes about in understanding, and I think we talk about this in a number of different ways, and that is our work and responsibility. Our work and responsibility is to be receptive, to be accepting of God's presence in the world. We are not responsible for the conversion of the world. We are not responsible for God's and not capable of growing God's kingdom. God will grow it on his own. It will work in spite of us. It will work with us. God's mercy and grace is, you know, as the creator of all things, his will be done.
So, do you think we're responsible to let Christ's light shine through us?
We have a responsibility to be the one spreading the seed. Absolutely. And each of us has been given a different measure and a different understanding and different talents by how we go about doing that. And I think this is the work that has to be done, not an intentional expectation that something's going to happen because of our actions, but to live our life every day as Christ has instructed us to live it, to not walk away from our faith, but to stand up strong and to be who we are in Christ, and to admit that. When the world wants around us and society wants us to pull away from our faith, they want us to just circle the wagons around some common theme of what social norms should be or look like, we have to stay strong to our faith. We have to stay strong and say who we are in the world. This is the work that we have. It is with us living the life Christ given to us, with Christ in our heart, caring for each other, loving each other, giving each other the same starting point that they are a blessed child of God as our first introduction to them, and giving them that leeway and understanding that what they intend to do and what they look to do is of their understanding of God. This is the work that we have. It is because of our living in the light that the seed continues to be planted and thrown throughout the world. Wherever we go, everything we say and everything we do, we wear it on our sleeves, and we expose the world to our true nature, and that's our true nature given to us through the gift of Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit.
Can you tell he was preaching today? Oh, yeah.
And one thing I encourage everybody here is understand that we always look for world change because of something we do. You know, that's part of this human nature of ego that we have, is we want to be purposeful and have intent and given to be recognized as being someone that brought about positive roles for the world and change in the world. But understand, just living a life of Christ is all of what that represents. God's work will be seen. God's work will be done if we continue to just live the life that Christ gave us to lead. Live freedom in the faith and knowledge of his gift and sacrifice on the cross that's given us that opportunity of in eternity with God in heaven. This is the hope. This is the blessings that we have. And this is the life that we should lead and live. Whether or not how people receive us and understand us, that's for God to work out on God's time. And particularly now, as many denominations of the body of Christ seem to struggle with worship attendance, we have this migration away from the mainstream Protestant churches and into this gray area of unknown understanding of faith. You know, understand that no matter what, if you're living a life in Christ, God's seed continues to be spread and God's seed continues to grow. And his church will be whole. His church will become powerful. We just have to leave it to God's work by living the example given to us in Jesus Christ. You know, not to be disheartened, not to be discouraged. If worship attendance isn't what it used to be like in the 60s or in the early 70s, and what our glory days of denominational church efforts and work look like, the work that we do today is just as powerful, just as strong, just as important. Because each day as an individual, if you go out there and show yourself to be a child of God, you will allow that seed spread, and then God will allow that seed to grow within.
Well, it was a great message for the folks at Bethel today.
I hope they felt that way, Dawn. I tell you, that church has got a lovely heart, a wonderful heart. This congregation over the years has just given us so much love and opening and welcoming of who we are and what we do. And it is a family away from family. I really do believe that, Dawn. I don't say that often, but there are people in this world that seem to just understand the gift of Christ's love within them and know that they just need to be part of that experience, and they so easily and so freely give it to them. You know, we talked about congregation in our message last week. We talked about this issue of one body of Christ sitting united and to be allowing for others to do their work as they see fit, as God has given it to them to do, right? In this congregation, things they've done like Gospel Fest that you have the opportunity to sing at these last 4 years, right, where they invite every denomination, everybody in the community, into their church to celebrate Black History Month, to celebrate the music of the gospel, to celebrate the joys of talent and gifts of everyone.
And it's a wonderful fundraiser for the folks in Haiti who are still so badly struggling.
Yeah, as well as a local
food pantry
that's there in Gary as well. But it's the way they serve, Dawn. It's everyone. There's not anyone that ever put up one barrier, definition, or recognition of different denominations whenever that event takes place.
Well, I think you did a wonderful job of offering them some really badly needed affirmation of that very thing. And they seem like to me that they felt very lifted up by your message and by your recognition that of them for just exactly who they are.
The message seemed to be tailored for them, this gospel message coming to us today. You know, just their work, again, continuing to live a life of Christ, sharing their love with everybody is just amazing. And that's what this message is all about, allowing that seed to spread wherever you go, to stand boldly and stand strongly and confident in who you are in Christ is something they exhibit each and every day. And that's an encouragement for the individuals. That's an encouragement for congregations. And whatever size gathering, come together in worship or in prayer, understand that just being who you are and accepting of Christ in your heart, you are growing each and every day. You're growing in faith, and that demonstration of your faith comes out in ways you won't yet maybe understand for years to come, and maybe even possibly would we ever see the fruits of that work being done. But God's working, and God's got a purpose for each one of us, and His plan will grow and spread his word throughout the land. So we just need to stay open. We need to stay focused on keeping strong in who we are and not allowing society to do what society likes to do, and that's to find a ground unto itself so that no one is greater than any other person. And what we know is that together everyone is greater because they have Christ in their life.
So be Christ.
Yes. Yes, and everything you say and do. So stay strong in that. Dawn, as we get down to the end of this, is there anything you want to share in this in addition to the statements here?
I was surprised you didn't talk about any of the related scripture, but you've been busy. So.
Well, let me share one that we talked about a little bit today, and that's Psalm 1, verse 3. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in the in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. And I just think that's a great little message for us all. The other thing that I want to go back into is Matthew Henry, because he talks about this issue of longevity. He talks about the seed growing in times of drought, okay? You will be strong. This refers back to Jeremiah in chapter 17. And they will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green, and it has no worries in times of drought and never fails to bear fruit. If you allow God's seed to be planted firmly within you, the roots of your faith will go deep, and the roots of your faith will carry you through the times of drought and despair.
It's just really about planting yourself in the right place.
Yeah, and for you know, for others out there, if you ever feel fearful of where your congregation is at or where it's heading or whether or not you're actually growing the church or just holding on by threads to the existing membership that you have, okay, it is your roots planted in your community that will continue to grow. It is firmly established. Your congregations are firmly established in faith. You yourself are firmly established in faith. And those roots of God's seed will continue to flourish and will bear fruit once again and bear fruit to God's glory. So I think that's our message for today, Dawn. I hope that you've enjoyed this. I hope that you have a chance to work with this in your heart and to stand firm in your faith. And we're very thankful for this ministry and where the Lord's leading us, the people that we get a chance to work with and talk to and just be part of their lives, their sharing of their lives with us. Is just a wonderful experience for us. He continues to open up new opportunities for us each and every day.
Gifts abound.
Absolutely. So with that, we're going to leave you with Michael W. Smith singing Open the Eyes of My Heart. We want you to have a blessed week, and thank you for joining us in the show.
Bye now.
Are you guys ready to worship at this tonight?
I know you know the song. Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.